All right, here we are on this Wednesday. It's the Morning Tailgate. It's Raider Nation Radio. Thank you so much for being with us. Vinny Bonsignore, Clay Baker, here inside our Las Vegas studios. You can always hit us up on the phones and text line 702-365-9200. In fact, if you text the word stadium to 702-365-9200, you're qualified to win this week's Vegas vacation, part of our summer fun from the Planet Nissan. You get the 3 nights in Vegas, $1,000 spending cash, or maybe you'd perhaps just take the $3,000 payout right away. It's up to you. If you don't want to come to Vegas, I understand. It's not for everybody, but you're going to miss out. You got the boxing match. You got the September Super Concert, the Vegas Sphere Show, High Roller, Alejandro Fernandez, Cirque du Soleil. Text the word stadium to 702-365-9200. Here on Raider Nation Radio, we'll be joined by Chris Thomas at the bottom of this hour, former Super Bowl champion wide receiver with the Rams. We'll talk to him about the Raiders' offense and defense and news around the NFL. The NFL.com posted a breakout piece for defensive players and special teamers, guys who are poised for a breakout, and an interesting name popped up on there for the Raiders, Tommy Eichenberg. Drafted fifth round, number 148 overall. But I like where this is going, especially where the write-up was from Chad Reuter, who noted that Eichenberg could earn snaps at middle linebacker for the Raiders, allowing Robert Spillane and Divine Diablo to play outside on early downs. Interesting thought, as he goes on to say, the run defender is going to make a lot of tackles with Christian Wilkins and John Jenkins and others eating blocks in front of him. You know, it was a run group that, the linebackers, the defensive line last year, somewhat susceptible against the run. I wouldn't say they're vulnerable, but when you rank 21st in rushing, you know, people want to make an improvement everywhere, especially on a Patrick Graham defense. Could Tommy Eichenberg be that kind of guy that could earn snaps at the Mike linebacker position?
But, you know, possibly that would represent a little bit of a departure from what Patrick Graham has been doing. They've been predominantly a two linebacker set where they bring in an extra defensive back even on early downs. But I could definitely see something like that happen. And I know Tommy Eichenberg, he's sort of a throwback player. And I feel like, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, let's say, this guy would have been a much higher draft pick based on what he did in college. But the game is evolving. The game is changing. And as a result, sometimes, you know, your traditional middle linebacker types are being devalued at least in the draft. So, that is certainly something that is a possibility. But it would represent a little bit of a departure in the scheme that Patrick Graham has been leaning on, especially last year.
And we'll get into more of this with Eddie Borsilli from SiriusXM Channel 156. He's the station director of Fight Nation. He's here with us. He was here in Las Vegas last weekend for UFC 303. Eddie, thank you for joining us. Good morning to you. And I'll tell you what, we'll get to some of that on Fight Nation. What you and your crew did was exemplary. All the interviews, all the fan engagement over the weekend on Channel 156, that was amazing. But, you know, we just were kind of commenting on, you know, an NFL.com list on young players poised for breakout on defense or special teams. They brought up Tommy Eichenberg's name for the Raiders, the round five draft pick, 148 overall, the linebacker. But I was wondering for you, was there ever times last year, as good as Patrick Graham's defense was, that you're worrying about, all right, can they make an improvement against the run? Because there were certain games where teams found a certain vulnerability, whether it was on the outside or through the middle, that you could run on the Raiders.
Yeah, and good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Glad to be back on with you. Yeah, I think at times, you know, there's a lot of teams' defense that struggle against that. But I think when you have linebackers, and as well as Blaine played last year, I think linebackers, you know, in that front seven are asked to do a lot of, you know, different things, especially in today's NFL, because you have so many different offensive players and so many different skill sets that could do things. You can go, you know, multiple. You can have guys coming out of the backfield. To me, you know, against the run, Spillane, you know, at times was really good. I think, you know, guys like Diablo still kind of struggle in that a little bit. But I think the front four guys, you know, we put so much emphasis on the pass rush. And it's like, okay, hey, we see Max making plays against the run, shedding blocks, getting after guys.
Yeah.
Sometimes the other guys, you know, it's just not there. You know, they're trying to do things, double teams and things like that. So, you know, I think, you know, having guys up front, like a Jenkins, guys like that did stuff up, you know, there's a throwback to the old school, let's get a guy like Ted Washington in here to move people around,
right,
and free up our linebackers and free up those guys to make plays. So I think, yeah, getting linebackers that can go sideline to sideline, can cover, you know, can make a misjudgment, but make up for it for speed. And maybe that's why they, you know, they go after that like Eichenberg. But yeah, I think, again, year after year after year, you see the progression, you see how this defense has molded itself into what Patrick Graham, you know, before I came on, you guys were speaking about, you know, kind of taking his identity. And you just keep on filling that roster with players that, you know, could be smart football, will be smart football players, but know their positions. And it's not always, you know, the guys that are the most talented. It's the guys that put themselves in the best position against the run, you know, to really solidify that. So I expect them to be better this year. I expect more athletes on the football field. But again, offenses are so multiple now. There's, you know, one time you stop, you know, against the run, you're good against the run, and the team's going to shred you against the pass. So not an easy task these days to be a defensive coordinator, defensive player in the NFL.
Yeah, and it really sheds a light on the signing of Christian Wilkins, who has traditionally been very effective against the run game, and not only as a run stopper himself, but somebody that can eat double teams and allow those linebackers, you know, to go run fill and make plays at the line of scrimmage or behind line of scrimmage sometimes because there's lanes available to those linebackers. So I think I think that addition in and of itself is so twofold in terms of the pass rush that it'll help create, but also the run defense that it'll assist. That's why, to me, it's arguably the biggest signing of any team, really, in the NFL and free agency.
Yeah, and it's almost like, it, you know, for the family, like it happened so long ago that you almost forget that Christian Wilkins is here. It's like, mm-hmm. Hey, we've been looking for a player
right.
of his value and his size and his ability forever. I remember when we signed, we had the conversation about, you know, just how perfect he was. And, you know, he brings all those things. He, you know, there's not a lot of guys. I talked about Ted Washington. Ted Washington wasn't going to sack the quarterback, but he was good at what he had to do. I think Christian Wilkins is, you know, at his position, one of the elite players in the NFL that's able, like you said, to do multiple things. And it just makes, you know, other people's lives and jobs easier. But also, too, sometimes against the run, you could see it. It's almost a swagger, right? It's like, hey, we're not going to give up a couple yards here. And I think that's what Christian Wilkins could bring to this team, too, to say, hey, guys, it's 3rd and 2. They're not getting this first down, like, right. No matter what. And I know it's kind of silly and it's like kind of cliche, but it's not, because you need players up front. You know, you need those alphas up front to make those statements and then go and make the plays behind it. And I think Christian Wilkins is that player. It's pretty remarkable that, you know, it all came together. I really think sky's the limit for that guy.
It's Eddie Borsilli here with us, Sirius XM Channel 156, Fight Nation Station Director, here with us on Raider Nation Radio. You know how it is during the 4th of July weekend. There's going to be get-togethers. There's going to be barbecues. There's going to be those awkward conversations as you're trying to pull away from certain guys at the party that's going to be asking you as you're trying to enjoy your chicken wings and bratwurst that they're going to be like, so, what do you think about the Raiders this year? Who's going to start at quarterback? And you almost have to have kind of like, you know, you got to practice this a little bit because you're going to be asked this quite a bit this weekend. Do you have that set up ready right now, that mantra, that go-to answer on who is going to start between O'Connell and Minshew?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it would be a go-to. I just think as it is, <Okay. laughs> nothing with this team is a go-to, guys. You know that.
You got that right.
Yeah. I think, you know, at this point, you know, if you're a betting man, and a lot of us just come from Vegas, so a lot of us were, but you have to kind of side with, you know, with Aiden O'Connell just because of the setup and the way this is kind of playing out, right? Him playing last year, him doing well, bringing Minshew for a bigger contract than people expected. But really, if you let the chips fall, Minshew's a better player, in my opinion, to come off the bench, you know, to really spark an offense or okay. come in and get you stuff. It's just it is what it is. Like, mm-hmm. It's not like
it's his track record.
Against, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not a knock against Gardner. He's still a good player, and they gave him the money because they felt that way as well. But I just think if you're going to, you know, set yourself up for success and take the temperature of your players, you know, I think, you know, the way the wording is coming out from players and how they're speaking, you know, and some of the coaches too, and maybe they're just holding it close to their vest, but I think you have to roll the O'Connell. So when people ask, it's, hey, Aiden did some good things last year. He's still a young football player. This offense has players all over the place to make plays. They're going to go with Aiden, have Gardner in the wings in case it implodes or in case of injury or anything like that, the guy that can step in and win some football games and see where the ceiling is for Aiden. See if he could take that next step or two to be a guy that could put this team in position, because, you know, the pieces are there on defense and the pieces are on offense. I just think that, you know, you saw a lot of good things last year from a player that was that nothing was really expected. So I know people are going to have the jokes and say, hey, it's the worst quarterback room in the NFL. Again, it's that time of year and all that kind of stuff. And the chips, you know, when everything gets going and the season's here, I think you're going to see, you know, Aiden O'Connell take that job. And I think if I was in that position, if I was a coach, you know, in the front office, I'd see it the kind of same way. You have a great – you need two quarterbacks. You know, you just need two quarterbacks that could win football games and play. And that's not a knock on a guy. But I think for where this offense is, you got to roll with it and see where it goes.
Eddie, I'm going to cite you some statistics from a performance from a quarterback in the past. It's over 13 games, so there's a little bit of projection to do in terms of, let's say this quarterback plays, or let's say it was a 17-game performance. But over 13 games, the percentage was 67.6 completion percentage, 3,547 yards, 22 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. Just kind of eyeballing that and thinking of it over a 17-game schedule, do you think either Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell, and I'm with you, I think Aiden O'Connell is going to be the guy that wins the job coming out of training camp, so let's just say Aiden. Is Aiden O'Connell, do you think, capable of 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, completing about 67% of his passes, throwing for 3,547 yards? Again, that's only over 13 games, so we have to account for the other 4 games. Do you think that the Raiders have that kind of a performance in them, in their quarterbacks?
I think, you know, the one, as you were saying it there, the one that jumps off that I probably would say, you know, again, we're getting ticky-tacky here with the numbers, but the completion percentage. I don't know if the completion, that's a pretty high completion percentage. You're getting close to 70% there and, you know, like Drew Brees-type territory. I know it's a couple, but I don't think those are crazy stats to say. I think those are, you know, stats that, again, you're not having a guy projected 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns, but over a 17-game season, you're talking about, you know, 27, 28 touchdowns, keeping the turnovers low. I mean, what we saw in the little sample size from Aiden, you know, I know the completion percentage probably wasn't there and he missed some throws, but I think you saw that, you know, he's going to put those up. He's going to protect the football. The fumbles are obviously an issue, but the interceptions weren't over the top. So I think those are numbers that you can get to. And I think, honestly, those are numbers that you need from your quarterback to be a playoff team, to be somebody. But again, with what they have at the receiver position, the improvement on the offensive line, you know, skill players, you know, it's all there. You know, it really is. As long as they take the Luke Getsy's offense, it might take a little bit of time to gel. But those quarterback numbers in here are not out of the realm of possibility. I could see similar type numbers over a long season, you know, in the right, you know, situation, for especially for a guy like Aiden in his skill set.
The quarterback that I those numbers were Case Keenum in 2017 for the Vikings. He went 11-3 as the starter that year. That's the year that the Vikings advanced to the NFC Championship game.
He's the perfect example of a guy that, you know, was drafted late, you know, didn't have a lot of hoopla, but was an accurate quarterback. And he played to his best ability with the people around him. They had good players around him, and they caught lightning in the bottle. You kind of see it all the time, and he hasn't done it since. I know he had a big contract elsewhere; it didn't pan out. But you know, those are numbers again that you need to be a playoff team in the National Football League. But those should be the expectations, guys. Like that should be for a starting quarterback in the NFL with Davante Adams, or what they have at the tight end position, Cody Myers. You know, we can list it on and on. You know, if you're going to be the starting quarterback of that football team, the expectation is going to be close to, you know, between 25 and 30 touchdowns and close to 3,500 yards with, you know, as long as you're protecting the football. That should be the expectation. If you're not getting that, you're probably not winning many football games, to be honest. That should be the expectation going into the year, you know, not to put exact numbers on it, but in today's NFL with what the defenses cannot do against receivers and stuff, you know, those should be pretty standard numbers for a quarterback that's winning football games in the NFL.
You know, one thing about that Case Keenum year is that the Vikings, their red zone touchdown percentage was 57.9%, good enough for ninth in the league. That would be a great improvement for what the Raiders offense has been trying to attain for a while. Have the Raiders done enough in this offseason to upgrade that spot to make you feel like, all right, what are the components to get to that 57.9% touchdown red zone percentage?
Yeah, it's just such a stark comparison when you start getting close, you know, down from 50%, you know, 57% down to 50. It's the difference between wins and losses. You've seen it. We've been talking about it, you know, not just us here, but, you know, since Carr's been here, just the struggles, you know, kind of in the red zone. I think you do. You think you put the pieces, you think that give you the best chance. You have two exceptionally talented tight ends down there that could block, could move people, and can get open in space. I mean, you're utilizing guys like that. You're going to run the ball. You're going to try to run the ball down there and pound it. And you have, you know, a receiving core that's one of the best in the National Football League. There really shouldn't be any excuse when you get down the red zone to put points on the board. I know anything could happen and all the bad stuff happens and there's whatever the case may be is, but with that much talent, you know, give it to the guys, let them do what they do. You drafted Brock Bowers for a reason. You drafted Michael Mayer for a reason. You signed, you know, traded for Devontae, like get the ball in these guys' hands. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're Aiden O'Connell, you know, it's the same thing. I know the field shrinks and it's, you know, we got to make the perfect play. It doesn't have to be necessarily some of the times. It just, if you get yourself over that 55% red zone, you know, instead of three, you know, you're getting seven. You know, it's the difference between eight wins, guys, and 10 wins. It really is, because when it comes down to it, if you're settling for field goals against the Chiefs or the Chargers and stuff like that, you're most likely you're not going to, you know, come out on top. You got to put sevens on the board. And I think the difference there, if they can kind of flip that, you go from a middle-edged team to a team.
Well, you know what's interesting about all that? The year before, in 2016, the Vikings were like 26th in the NFL in red zone percentage, and they averaged 20 points per game rather than the 24 points per game that they averaged in 2017, and were 23rd in the NFL in scoring as opposed to the 10th in the NFL in scoring. All basically because they got way better performance in the red zone, and they went from an 8-8 team to a 13-3 team. So,
and you had an accurate quarterback that was making the right throws.
And he's a career 62% completion. He had never played that well before, has never played that well since. He's also, that was probably the best team that he's ever, you know, started at quarterback for. So that certainly helped. But yeah, I mean, and that's why I don't think that it's unreasonable that whether it's Case Keenum or Aiden O'Connell, that the Raiders can't get that level of play from their quarterback this year.
But that's what and that's another reason too why I think, you know, that the smart money is on Aiden O'Connell, because in my head, if I was the coach and Gardner starts the season, you know, and starts to struggle, I don't know if Aiden, you know, I'm not in that locker room, I'm not in that huddle, so I don't know for sure, but yeah, I don't know if Aiden would be good to come off the bench and kind of rally the guys and put up points. I think that's really Gardner's spot. And not saying that Aiden's going to struggle, but, you know, if he goes in there a couple, you know, four games or something like that, just not getting the job done, I feel like you can get a guy like Gardner. Gardner, to me, is more like a Case Keenum, you know, that guy that's been around that can catch lightning in the bottle and all of a sudden, you know, the offense starts clicking. And I'm not saying that Aiden's going to be benched at some point. You want Aiden to take this job, run with it, throw 30 touchdowns, and the Raiders have that quarterback. But I'm just, the way it's built, I just think it's smart, you know, to go with the younger guy, let Gardner sit on the bench, give him some tutelage, let him learn, hey, pick up things there. And if, you know, worst case, 1-3 in the first four games, let's make a switch here. You know, maybe Gardner is the guy that couldn't give you that, you know, lightning in a bottle where he just is completing everything and getting the most out of his skill guys, and the Raiders could, you know, go from there and see if they can make a move.
It's Eddie Borsilli, Channel 156, Fight Nation. He's the station director. He was in Las Vegas last week for the International Fight Week, headlined by a UFC 303. You get the Hall of Fame induction, a UFC X fan experience. It was awesome, but the work you guys put out was amazing. 5-6 days of incredible coverage, interviews, and fan engagement. What was your favorite part of coming to Vegas last week and all that melee that took place?
Yeah, and I'm still recovering, by the way, from the days. I'm not
good man.
Do this on a day-to-day basis. But now, Vegas really, guys, is we talked about it. It's really transformed into the sports capital of the world. You know, there's just so much going on in the city. You know, we had International Fight Week. The NHL draft was there. There was soccer there. Like, there's just so much going on in Vegas. Like, it's really cool to see just the sports integration, you know, kind of into the city. And what the UFC has done, you know, it used to be this little event, and now UFCX at the convention center. You know, we're out there doing shows. UFC fighters, the guys, the lines for autographs for these fighters were, you know, down and down and down. There was so many people coming through that convention center. There's nothing better. And then, you know, doing shows for SiriusXM Studios at the Wynn. You know, we really had it covered. It's a great place to be. Like I said, it's really become the sports kind of center, and there's just so much going on. And I just, you know, you love being out there. You love the energy. Get in that arena, you know, T-Mobile on Saturday to see those fights and all the stuff and the craziness that went down with changing fighters 3 minutes before. It's just, yeah. It's so good. I'm proud of my team on Fight Nation. We rocked it. We, you know, everything was great the entire week. Looking forward to coming back again.
Thanks, Eddie, for coming on. We wish you and your family the best this weekend. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, happy 4th, guys. Appreciate
it. Thank you. It's Eddie Borsilli here with us on Sirius XM Channel 156. And, you know, I like the fact that even as historical analysis goes, getting those Case Keenum numbers to replicate for the Raiders, that's not impossible. It was like, as you said, he was on the best team he's probably ever been on, and he's been on a lot of teams. Let's face it.
Yeah, and he is what he is as a quarterback. You know, and that's kind of indisputable. He's had plenty of chances to be more than that, and it is what it is. And he's had a nice little career for himself, made some money. In addition to all that,
still playing, backing it up in Houston. Yeah. You know, he still got it
right. So, is Aiden O'Connell more than what Case Keenum is? I think we're getting ready to find out. Or can he just be what Case Keenum is?
Sure.
Which is, there's nothing to apologize for if you're Case Keenum, and you put Case Keenum on that team in Minnesota, and you know, as lightning was caught in a bottle in that season. It was a quarterback that was a pretty decent quarterback around a really good supporting cast that you know, took care of business in the red zone, played well in terms of protecting the ball, you know, and was on the upside with between touchdowns to interceptions, completed a high percentage of his passes, and really that's all you need to know, and all you need to do sometimes to be a successful team. Now, the Vikings had their ceiling, and you know, Cinderella's shoe came due at midnight in Philadelphia, and that's fine too. Nobody expected the Vikings to ever be in that position, especially after losing Teddy Bridgewater, and then Sam Bradford went down. But I do believe that within that quarterback room, those numbers, you know, are possible for the Raiders. And I'll also say this. The Vikings weren't prisoners of the moment in that situation. They understood, thank you, Case Keenum.
Yeah.
But yeah. Got to go try to find better. Did it work out with Kirk Cousins? No. There were probably other reasons why that. But it wasn't – I mean, Kirk Cousins, if you look at his numbers with the Vikings – were pretty damn good. They were a flawed team in a lot of different ways. I don't know if necessarily Mike Zimmer was the right coach, you know, for that. They had some success without question with Kirk Cousins. They made a couple of playoffs, you know, with him, and so.
But it didn't put him ahead.
No, it didn't. It didn't put him ahead, and there's a lot of reasons why that sometimes is the case. But my point is, they didn't settle for Case Keenum and just say, "Oh, Case Keenum is our guy now," and because that was unrealistic. And that could be the case even after this year, no matter what, you know, if whoever the quarterback is for the Raiders can give them those type of numbers. I still think that it behooves the Raiders to take a step back going into next offseason and say, where are we truly at quarterback, and do we truly feel comfortable moving forward with either one of these two guys on a kind of a long-term basis, or as the Vikings did and as the Baltimore Ravens did years ago, after winning a Super Bowl and saying, no, we don't feel we're good enough at quarterback, we have to get better at that position, which you should always be of that mindset. If you're chasing greatness, if you're chasing Super Bowls, you can't get caught up in the moment and be satisfied with a playoff appearance, or you know, even in the Vikings case, kind of, you know, creating a miracle situation against the Saints and going to the NFC Championship game and saying, yes, we found our quarterback. You have to always be honest about the situation. And if your honest conclusion is that's still not going to get it done, then go chase another quarterback.
All right, we'll take a timeout, because Chris Thomas is going to join us from Fusion Odyssey, former Super Bowl champion wide receiver. Let's talk to him about the offense and as well as some of the interesting stories in and around the league here on Raider Nation Radio. We'll come back with him, and don't forget to send the word stadium to 702-365-9200 so you can qualify for this week's Summer of Fun with Planet Nissan.
Hey, by the way, happy 4th of July to everybody out there. We're obviously going to be off in honor of the holidays. Tomorrow and Friday as well. So I want to wish everybody a safe and happy 4th of July. And what better way to celebrate 4th of July? I know everyone's going to be out there barbecuing, and hopefully whatever you do it responsibly. But great time to go load up on some Dos Catas tequila. Head over to Total Wines or Lee's Liquor. Both have all of the various labels that Dos Catas presents and offers. So Total Wine Lee's Liquor here in Las Vegas. If you're not in Las Vegas, you can run over to DosCatasSpirits.com. I say run over, but it's basically just firing up your computer and hitting a couple of keywords. But go to DosCatasSpirits.com. You can order wherever you are and have your favorite Dos Catas products delivered to wherever you are. That's at DosCatasSpirits.com.
Years of glory of the Oakland Raiders. But this was our finest hour. This was the finest hour in the history of the Oakland Raiders. To Tom Flores, the coaches, and the great athletes, you were magnificent out there today. You really were.
We're back here on the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio. Every time around this part of the year, July 4th, reminds me of Al Davis. He was born July 4th, 1929. The late Al Davis would have been 95 this year. Here on Raider Nation Radio, we thank you for being with us. The Morning Tailgate, Clay, Vinny, and Chris Thomas. Super Bowl champion wide receiver with the 1999 St. Louis Rams. He is currently and has been for a long time a performance development mentor for both student athletes, amateur and pro. Follow him on social media at Fusion Odyssey. You can also call him at his office at 805-663-8483. Chris, thank you for joining us. Good morning to you. You know, before we get into this, there's been a listener who's constantly been asking a question on the text line. His name is Juan. He's in St. Louis, Missouri. He listens to us, longtime Raider fan, and he's been asking me this question to ask you. He says, how is Torrey Holt not in the Hall of Fame when he was clearly better than Isaac Bruce while they were teammates? Okay, clearly better? You explain that, because you were part of that team, the greatest show on turf.
Well, good morning. Well, I would tell you that I absolutely think that Torrey's deserving of being in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
He had an incredible career before and after St. Louis. Integral part of that team that went to the Super Bowl and won it, especially as a rookie, right? Like, what he did just right out the gate was probably as good as any, you know, rookie that we've had in the NFL in the last 20 years. I mean, he's 20, 30 years, you know, maybe even longer than that. So I would agree that Torrey was a great player, and to take nothing away from him, I mean, Ike B was also a great player. So I don't know that I would compare one to the other necessarily. You know, I'd have to look at Torrey's career. Do you know how many years he played? Because I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, I looked it up, and Torrey had 142 games versus Isaac Bruce's 136. So he did play six extra games. But Torrey Holt had 175 more receptions than Isaac Bruce. Both retired in 2009.
Well, I'll say this real quick. Can I jump in? You know, Isaac started his career during an era where the Rams were more of a primarily a running team. They weren't the pass team that the Rams ultimately became. Remember, he was a L.A. Ram for that's where he was drafted. And I want to say it was Rich Brooks was one of his coaches. I mean, you know, he went through some coaches before they got to the greatest show on turf era. So the game changed a little bit as well. So sometimes numbers can be a little bit skewed because of the system that you're playing in.
So I was going to say what VB just kind of said, and that is, you know, the catches don't really say everything, right? Mm-hmm. It never tells a whole story because of systems, right? So every system's different. And so you have to take that into account. But more than that, I think to add to what VB said is that Ike B was also on a team that was definitely not the greatest show on turf team when he was with the Rams.
Right.
You know, they were a team trying to find themselves, trying to rebuild. So he definitely was not on a team that was one of the upper echelon teams. So that was a challenge in itself. But even on that team, when he was on that team when they were first starting, or when he was first with them and they were trying to find themselves, I would tell you that Ike stood out as an elite player in the NFL. So, I mean, I certainly would not want to take anything away from Torrey, but I absolutely would not take anything away from Isaac. I think Isaac came before Torrey.
Yes.
So I think you have to take that into account as well, that, you know, I think Torrey's just, you know, is biding his time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't, sure. Again, not taking it anywhere from Torrey, but Isaac did play before Torrey. He was in the NFL before Torrey. So given what he accomplished, it would make sense that he would be in the Hall prior to Torrey.
Okay.
But they're both great players in their own right. It's funny you mentioned his name because I just talked about Torrey the other day and Isaac Bruce when I talked about the receivers in the NFL who I admired and watching them play. And Torrey and Ike were absolutely two of them for sure. As far as the guys that I played with, I mean, it would be Jerry, Isaac, and Torrey would be like the top three guys that I played with that I would be like, yeah, just watching them was like so much fun. And it was like watching a future Hall of Famer go play.
Wow. Cool. I love it.
Yeah. I'm curious about that because, you know, on those Rams teams, there were future Hall of Famers, without question. A Hall of Fame coach as well. Do you realize that in real time? Are you even thinking about that? Hey, I'm sharing the field in the locker room with guys that are going to be among the best of the best when it's all said and done.
No, especially you know when they were 4-12 the year before.
Yeah.
You know, I got there, but I don't think you even really think about that because you're just in the moment, just playing, right? And you just, you know, I think you kind of ironically just. You expect guys to play well. I mean, that's why you're in the NFL, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, so you're not really thinking about, are they playing at a level that one day is going to get them in the Hall? You're just thinking like, yeah, expect him to play well. He's one of our starters and he's a stud and he's got game. And I don't think his game can really be stopped in any given Sunday. So I don't know that you're thinking really past that, but even Oz Akeem, you know, at that time,
oh, yes.
He was absolutely the elite slot guy and just so smooth. You know, just like really made everything look seamless and easy with the things that he did. Very much like Marshall Faulk. You know, Marshall, it was crazy because you look at Marshall and it doesn't look like he's really doing much. And before you know it, he's made three or four people miss. And he's like, looks like he's striding into the end zone, but he's running his 3.940 into the end zone. But it doesn't look like he's trying to run. It was just really amazing to watch all that really come together at the same time, you know? It was crazy, but no, you're not thinking about this guy's going to be in the Hall one day. You're just thinking about, I love that he's on my team because I think if we keep doing what we're doing, we're in the Super Bowl. And sure enough, there you have it.
It's awesome. Chris Thomas here with us. Fusion Odyssey, former Super Bowl champion, wide receiver here with us on the morning tailgate. A couple of things. Can you speak to the, and we talked about this last time you were on, since there's NFL off seasons, you have defensive linemen who do the sack summit and there's cornerbacks that get together, you know, in the off season. And we were thinking about you should head the wide receiver mixer, you know, the receivers, the catcher's crucible week, whatever it takes. And it's wide receivers now, you know, they have the ability to kind of like hold out, to kind of put a team, you know, in a hostage situation because they know that they're a viable weapon. Which wide receivers that are holding out right now publicly who kind of have the best leverage? Is it with the Dallas Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb, or is it with Amari Cooper and the Cleveland Browns? Which wide receiver that's threatening holdout has the best leverage right now?
I would definitely say CeeDee Lamb. I mean, clearly he was their difference maker last year. I think without CeeDee Lamb, it's going to be tough for them to even have a chance to make the playoffs. They don't have anyone, I think, that fills that role the way that he does. He's a game changer in any given moment of the game. So,
yeah.
And I think Dak completely trusts him, right? So he's their, you know, pull if there's a fire, right? He's their fire alarm, right? Like he's that guy. Like everything falls apart and I can find CeeDee Lamb and like I can trust that guy to go make a play that maybe other guys can't. So it's hard to replace that on a team and he's done it over and over and over and over again throughout the season last year, right? So I would tell you that he has a ton of leverage in terms of holding a team hostage because without CeeDee Lamb, the Dallas Cowboys are not going to be the same team that they were last year, right? And it's tough for them, too, because they continue to, I would guess most people feel this way, underachieve, right? Like every year they're talking about, you know, the expectations of the Cowboys, and every year it seems like they never get as far as they're supposed to. And so, you know, can you really afford not to have CeeDee Lamb there? Do you really want to start your season like that? Right. So I can't imagine that they're not going to do whatever they can to get him back on the team with the contract that he wants, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would tell you that nothing against Amari Cooper, but CeeDee Lamb, I think, is far more invaluable to his team than Amari is to his.
Yeah, without question, I'm right there with you. All right, it's July 3rd. Camp start in about 2 weeks now, two and a half weeks or so. What are players doing right now? What would Chris Thomas be doing right now as you get prepared for training camp?
Well, I know that I would be making sure that I was not leaving any stone unturned. So this next week would be the week that I was absolutely just grinding and making sure that everything that I had worked the entire offseason for was absolutely on point, right? And then I would spend the last week just working out with ease until like the last 2 or 3 days before I left for camp, working out just with ease, making sure I was doing something active but nothing too strenuous, because that would be the time I would not want to risk getting hurt before I had to go to camp. But that's the time that I'm really like collecting myself and really finding my balance, to be honest with you, the 2 or 3 days before going to camp, because I know what camp's going to be. And while I'm in it, it's not the time that I want to find my balance. I want to find my balance before I go to camp. And it took me a little bit to really understand that and how important that was for me. My rookie year, I was dumb enough to play basketball like 2 or 3 days before I went to training camp, and I broke my nose. You know what I mean? I'm like, really? So that wasn't a good way to go into training camp, and I never told them that, because you can't. But I figured out really quickly that was the time, the 2 or 3 days before camp, that I really needed to be finding my balance to get ready for what was going to be in front of me for the next, 4 weeks or 5 weeks of camp. So, yeah, I would, the week before was always about easing myself into not doing anything for 2 or 3 days and then getting myself ready to go try to make a team.
It's Chris Thomas here, Fusion Odyssey, up on social media. If you have a son or daughter, student athlete, and you're trying to unlock the mental game, we seriously recommend you DMing Chris Thomas at Fusion Odyssey on social media. You can also call or text him in the office, 805-663-8483. And this time around, for the Raiders wide receivers, how different will it be for the wide receiver group and even the tight ends to a certain extent to follow along with the quarterback competition that's going between Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew, because each guy throws the ball a little bit differently? How do you stay in tune on that during this part of the offseason?
I don't know if they do anything where those guys get together, in the offseason like some teams do.
Okay.
But, that's the way that you get to know your quarterback really, really well. And I don't know if they've done that, in Las Vegas with those guys, but whether they have or haven't, I would tell you this, that I don't know that a wide receiver, an elite wide receiver, thinks too much about who's throwing him the ball.
Okay.
I think it's really about your game, right? And I will say this, and just to kind of as a side note, it is different catching from different guys. Like, I could tell you that it was different catching from Trent Green than it was from Gus Rod. It was different catching from Trent Green than it was, Kurt Warner. It's different. It was different catching from Elvis Gerbach, from, Steve Young. You know what I mean? It's very different. So you're aware that it's different, but like anything else, like, once you understand how they're different, then you make adaptations so that you can execute at the same level. It's what Jerry did, right? I don't know that it's a hidden story, but I think it was awkward for him catching from Steve Young, so he spent a lot of time working with our equipment guy, Ted, who was a lefty, throwing ball after ball after ball after ball after ball, so we could get really used to that rotation and the way the ball came in and everything else, because it is different. It is awkward. And it took me some time to get used to that. You don't think about it until you're getting a ball that moves differently. Some balls come in harder than others. So I think it's more that than, who's behind the throw, if that makes sense. I don't think they pay you that much attention to who the quarterback is, because at the end of the day, you're catching from whoever they choose is taking the helm. So you got a job to do, and you don't really care who's the guy doing it. I'm sure they have the guys that they like, everybody, but I don't know that anybody would say that publicly, in the way that they throw. But, yeah, I honestly don't think the guys spend too much time on who's going to be the guy throwing them the ball. They just want the ball.
Okay.
Did you enjoy training camp?
I don't know if anyone, loves training camp. I'll tell you what I did love about training camp, and I have, again, talked about this. What I loved about training camp, and maybe this is demented, who knows, but what I loved about training camp was knowing that at some point I was going to hardly be able to get up out of bed, you know, and my legs were going to be shot. And I literally was going to be like limping to go get breakfast and like immediately asking myself, how am I going to go through two practices today? Like, I can hardly walk. How can I possibly go out there and compete against the best guys on the planet and run faster than a jog? But at the same time, knowing that if you can't run faster than a jog, you're getting covered 100% of the time. They're charting everything, and you can't afford for that to happen. So somehow in the depths of your soul, right, when you're getting all the heat rubbed on your hamstrings and your quads and in your lower back, and you're like, it's 108 degrees out, and you're like, I don't know if I can do it. Somehow, like, you put all that aside, and your mind takes over and just says, you don't have a choice. Like, you have to do it, right? And then 2 hours later, practice is over, and you go that evening after dinner and watch your 7-on-7 and team, and you're like, nobody would ever know that I could hardly walk when I got up this morning.
Right.
You know, and that's that right there is what I miss, is like finding that reserve tank that not much in life requires you to find, right? And training, especially for a guy like me, VB and CB, especially for a guy like me, because, you know, every rep that I had mattered because I was being evaluated as like the last receiver on the roster. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so everything mattered. Every single thing mattered. So you don't have the luxury of like taking days off. You know, I remember when I was with the Commanders, and, you know, I only knew one speed when I went out there. From the moment we warmed up to the moment we finished practice, I only knew one speed because I felt like I didn't have the luxury not to be at the speed that I needed to be. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was always going 100% while the starters and you know, the third, you know, receiver sometimes be like, dude, like, slow it down. Like, what are you doing? Like, dude, like, we don't want you going at that tempo because then it makes us look bad. I'm like, bro, I don't have a choice. Like, you can afford not to go at that tempo. I can't afford not to go at that tempo. So I constantly was getting this, CT, dude, calm down, man. Slow it down. You know, we're just starting. I'm like, I can't slow it down, dude. Like, I'm on the bubble every single time I come out to practice. Like, I don't have the luxury of doing that. So really, because of my circumstance, you almost like know that you have to will yourself to do what your body is telling you it can't. And again, so that's, I miss that. Like, I love that. I love being bigger than my circumstances. You know, I love being bigger than the intensity. I love being bigger than, like, you know, it'd be easy to be scared that you're going to lose something or scared that you can't drop a ball, but you go out there and you're not for 2 hours. And I love that challenge. I love proving that I have that in me because, you know, it had legs. You know, that really permeated every other part of my life. So that's what I miss about training camp.
Now, these are the words of Chris Thomas here with us. Go online, Fusion Odyssey on social media, and direct message Chris. It's easy. Fusion Odyssey on Instagram as well as Twitter. You can find it. He's got the wide receiver program, private soccer training, baseball, softball private training, and, of course, the gateway to unlocking your mental game. Chris, thank you very much. We hope you have a great and a safe holiday weekend. We look forward to talking again next week.
Awesome, my friends. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank
Happy
you so much.
To everybody.
Likewise.
Yes, we appreciate you, Chris Thomas, with us, Fusion Odyssey, giving us the great words of the day. And I love that. It's like, yeah, I can't go half speed. I can't do the jogging thing. That's not my role in this team. I have to go full out, because that's what I'm here for. We'll step aside and come back with Marcus Johnson from Tape Don't Lie. He's uncovered some great things on the Raiders film. We'll find out what the footage tells us here on Raider Nation Radio. It's the Morning Tailgate.
There's only one thing that counts. Just win.